Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the R&R Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Lincoln DeMond said that the reason Mac Jones looked so good against Cleveland was because Trent Brown was back on the field for...
Oh, was he? Was he playing? Did he actually play?
He did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was looking like a stud. He was... Oh, man. For that one game, they did have to sub him in and out. You know, he didn't play every snap. But for those snaps, oh, he was looking like a stud guy.
Well, he should. He's well-rested. How many games have he played this year?
It's his second one.
Oh, there you go. There it is. So everybody else has had 10 games. He's on his second one. Good for him. Boy, yeah, I need to be his finance guy. I mean, he is doing absolutely wonderful.
Get paid for doing nothing.
Nothing.
So. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation. Listener line, Raider Dave is in Denver. How you doing, brother?
Talk to you. JT came on the other day and was ranting and raving about up-tempo. He didn't see any of it. But I think at the point where you're losing the time of possession, and congrats to the Chiefs because they figured out a way to flip that. We had time of possession last season on them, I think almost in both games, if not at least one. But when you go up-tempo like that and go three and out, now your defense is back on the field again, and it just exacerbates the problem. So I don't understand how you could really say that, or how JT could say that, and not realize what was happening to the defense. Now, the other thing is, if that's an offensive philosophy, and my last question a little bit will be about the offensive philosophy going forward, that's one thing. And we know that Carr is good in that. They have the receivers to do it. My thing, though, is what happens with Ingold out? This is going to change everything about this offense and their power run game, which is the other question for Link is like, Tom Cable did so good with this squad, albeit, you know, a couple of Pro Bowlers in there too, but he did so good with this blocking squad, offensive line squad last year. What is it that's going to end up getting these guys to blow holes open for Drake and Jacobs? I think that pad level might need to be lower for both sides of the ball. I saw Crosby, you know, go against his old college teammate and just get so close, but I just don't think his pad level was down there to where a Von Miller status, where, and I know he's taller than Miller, but I think he could have gotten to the quarterback a couple of times. But going forward, what happens with the offensive philosophy here without Alec Ingold?
Well, you know, they Lincoln, they did bring in a new fullback.
Yeah.
As you saw on Sunday, Foster Burrow played a little bit of fullback.
Yeah.
I don't think it changes all that much. I just think they need somebody that's going to be able to give them the equivalent of what Alec was giving them.
Going to be able to block.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Foster Moreau. He's not there yet. His blocking technique is not as strong as one would think. And they're trying to use him for other things to help chip in on protections when we get Waller out there too. So there's a lot to be said. But I think the biggest thing that Alec fullback is a special art. To be an extension, basically, of the half offensive line and half running back. You've got to have the ability to go out and catch balls in the flats and be able to surprise teams. And Alec was doing that, and he was part of that offense in a fold. I think it's a big loss for this offense going forward. You saw the Raiders. I still believe their best runs are straight downhill, not trying to sweep or, you know, stretch the fields, not running no stretch plays, straight downhill. And I did a little segment on the Silver and Black Show last week where I was talking about 34 and 35 Wham, which is one of those that they're really good at doing. You can't run it all the time, but they really are good at doing. And they've had success, even in this Kansas City game, running that play. That's going to be their main staple play, but they just can't, they just have to do different versions of getting it out there. So, again, this is the short yardage is going to hurt. The goal line is definitely going to hurt. But here's the thing. they've got a package with Mariota. They did a little flip the last game with where they show two backs in the backfield, and they flipped it out. Jacobs sweeping out to the outside, caught the defense totally off guard. That's another wrinkle that they have. You saw with Mariota, they had the speed option. There's things that they can do there. It's just if we didn't have guys jumping off sides, we might be able to see more with Mariota and short yardage and what they could do. We just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Back out to the Raider Nation guest line. Welcome in our good friend over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Sam Gordon. And don't forget to download the app Vegas Nation or go to VegasNation.com. You'll get all of Sam's work, all of my work, all of our photo essays, podcasts, videos, columns, game stories, feature stories, everything that we do over at Vegas Nation. We got you covered from A to Z in Raider coverage. Sam, how you doing, my friend?
What's up, Vinny? What's up, Lincoln? How you guys doing?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
We're doing good. And, Sam, the big topic of the day, I'm not going to use a language that Lincoln used, but Lincoln, and rightfully so, has been talking about some dumb you-know-what kind of play that the Raiders have shown these last couple of weeks, especially in some key moments with some key penalties, lack of poise, lack of focus, and just really drive killers in a lot of ways in big moments, and you just can't have that, especially against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. It hurt them against the Giants, for crying out loud, let alone a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. How do the Raiders get back to being the poised team that we saw the 2 weeks prior to the bye week?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think it's just, you know, it just comes down, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but it just comes down to execution and fundamentals and understanding situational football, right? You have a 4th-and-1 where you're going to go for it, and you got the home crowd behind you, and it's, you know, Sunday night football and a tremendous atmosphere, and you put points on the board early, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe some things change, right? And you have you jump, right? You have a situation where you have a false start. That to me was one of the, I mean, that was an indicator, right, of what was to come on Sunday night. And even in the press box, Vinny, that felt significant. I know we touched on that on the podcast this morning, but it felt significant at the time. It's the Chiefs. It's a huge rivalry game on Sunday Night Football at home. There's not a ton of margin for error, especially when you saw the way Patrick Mahomes is playing and the groove he was getting into. You just can't make those kind of mistakes. Personal foul penalties that extend drives, things like that. It's right now with where the Raiders are, with what they've been through this season, with where they're at health wise. The margin of error has shrunk. It is a lot smaller than it maybe was earlier in the season. So I think it just comes down to, you know, to drilling the fundamentals of, you know, understanding situational football and recognizing that, hey, this is mid-November now. This is where the rubber meets the road. Everybody's still kind of alive in that AFC wild card picture. And even in the division, it's not like the Raiders are, you know, 4 games back. They're a half a game back. There's a lot of football to be played. But these games are really, really important now. And with the Raiders' schedule, with the way it's looking, with Cincinnati coming up, with Cleveland eventually, with Indianapolis, a lot of these teams that are in the mix are going to be, you know, cannibalizing one another, for lack of a better term, and there's going to be opportunities to make up ground and solidify a playoff positioning by beating teams that they're competing with directly. But like you guys are talking about, with untimely penalties and stupid mistakes and being in the wrong place at the wrong time, I mean, it's just not going to work. Every game is so important at this point. Every play, every drive, they're all so crucial. I think that needs to be a focal point this week in practice. Execution, fundamentals, being disciplined. And if the Raiders can get back to doing that and minimize some of the penalties, and you're never going to play a penalty-free game, right? But if you can minimize some of the big killers and keep them to a minimum, you're in much better shape. I think those penalties on Sunday, they felt big at the time, and they certainly, when you look at the final score, I don't think that was quite indicative of how competitive the game was for almost 3 quarters, you know, certainly 2.5, you know, quarters. It doesn't reflect that. And if you are able to execute and not have some of those boneheaded mistakes, maybe it's a different outcome, or maybe it's close all the way into the fourth. But situationally, you got to be aware of things, even with DeSean Jackson's play too. I mean, just go down. You're right there. You set your team up in the red zone with an opportunity. You get the crowd back behind you. You score a touchdown. It's 24-21. Different ball game, right? So it's on the Raiders, it's on the coaching staff to make sure that everybody's fundamentally sound, that everybody's disciplined, and get the team ready to go for a big game on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Sam, my issue was the fact that not the number of penalties, it was the timing of penalties, whether they extended drives against the defense or they slow down, they stop possessions on the offense. I mean, the first one that happened on the fourth and one where they were going to go for it, you know, Alex Leatherwood jumps off sides and now it becomes fourth and six. You have to punt the ball. That's a waste of possession. And I played in games where you have to take advantage of possessions because you have an equally efficient or effective offense on the other side. But in my estimate, in your estimation, because I was talking to Vinny in the first hour about it, did you happen to notice opportunities of receivers or maybe strike downfield that Derek might have came off a little too soon or didn't stick with for a little bit and might have had another opportunity to take a couple more deep shots?
Yeah, it certainly felt like there were some opportunities that presented themselves, and those are opportunities. I think we saw Derek Carr earlier in the season, right, a little bit more aggressive going down the field than he had been in years past, letting that thing go, and there were great results. And we understand that the situation involving Henry Ruggs, and he's not around, and we also understand that DeSean Jackson is in his first game with the franchise, and there's going to be some things that they're going to have to figure out, some chemistry things, and the coaching staff is going to have to continue to figure out ways to scheme up plays where he's open. But with that said, I think there were opportunities, and when you're at Sunday Night Football, when you're at home in a game like that, those big chunk plays, I think those are huge. Those are huge for, you know, for momentum. Those are huge for invigorating the crowd. They're obviously huge in keeping Kansas City's offense off the field, keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, and it seemed like he was quite comfortable taking some of those chances earlier in the season, and like you said, on Sunday, I think there were plays that were there that he didn't just let it go. So if they can get back to doing that and this offense can get back to being a big play offense, I think that's what this offense has really lacked the last couple weeks is the explosive plays. I mean, there was that drive early in the second half where Bryan Edwards was able to score a touchdown where I think he let the ball go a little bit. But there were certainly more opportunities to get guys involved down the field and to create a spark in that stadium. And unfortunately for the Raiders, that didn't happen. So, you know, you go back, you look at the tape, you figure out ways to get better, and you see what you can scheme up against the Bengals team that, as we saw last time they played Lincoln against the Jets, I mean, there are big passing plays available to be had against Cincinnati. There are big chunk plays. I mean, Mike White was tearing them apart, so no disrespect to him, but he's obviously not in Derek Carr's class, and the receivers in New York aren't in the receivers on the Raiders' class. So there are going to be opportunities on Sunday, and I would like to see Derek Carr let that thing go like he was in the first month of the season.
We're talking to Sam Gordon, and you can follow him at By Sam Gordon from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Again, download the app Vegas Nation or go to VegasNation.com for all of our work over there. Sam, should we be worried if you're a Raider fan about what they saw defensively from the Raiders on Sunday, or was that just a situation where they kind of ran into a buzzsaw against a really good Kansas City Chiefs team that was bound to get it together at some point offensively and just so happened to pick Sunday night against the Raiders to do that?
I think it's a combination of both, right? I think for the first time this season, the pass rush really wasn't a factor. And for so much of the year, the Raiders were not only getting to the quarterback and getting sacks, but flushing quarterbacks from the pocket, speeding up throws, making quarterbacks uncomfortable, making him have to think twice about whether or not they want to step up in the pocket, whether or not they want to get rid of the ball. And there was a little bit of pressure on Patrick Mahomes, but not enough to make him uncomfortable. So that's what I would be concerned with. Now, not overly concerned, because we have seen the pass rush be very consistent throughout the course of the season. You're not going to dominate every single game. It's just not realistic. Other teams have good players too. Other teams have good coaches, and other teams are going to put together good game plans. And you got to credit the Kansas City Chiefs for making some adjustments, for Patrick Mahomes, for taking what the defense was giving him, for not seeking the home run every single play. That was clearly an adjustment that the Chiefs offense hadn't made yet in regards to how they are being defended this year with a lot of the two deep looks. But Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Andy Reid and that coaching staff and those receivers and tight ends, they did make the adjustments, and they played well. But with that said, the pass rush does need to get back going again. I think there's no question about that. That is obviously, in my opinion, why the defense has been better this year, because you're able to get to the quarterback. You've been able to create some turnovers and create a lot of negative plays for opposing offenses. That certainly wasn't the case on Sunday. Now with Cincinnati coming to town, a leaky offensive line, you know, not mid-90s Cowboys, you know, far from it, right? And you have a quarterback in Joe Burrow who I believe to be one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. I think, you know, we would agree there. We've seen a lot from him. He's quite impressive. But you get to him, you put some heat on him, he'll turn the ball over. I mean, he's among the league leaders in interceptions. And if the Raiders can get their pass rush to where it was for, you know, the first 2 months of the season, make him a little uncomfortable, I think there's going to be opportunities on Sunday to create some turnovers, to create some big negative plays, and to create shorter fields for that offense with which to work.
Sam, last one from me. What now we're at the halfway point, what are your sincere, honest feelings towards the Raiders' ability as far as wins, losses, and possibly doing something in the playoffs?
Yeah, Lincoln, that's a good question. I think clearly, right, we've seen this at this team at its best can hang with anybody. I mean, beat Baltimore. And Baltimore, for the struggles that they've had, I mean, I think that the whole league has been, you know, kind of up and down. There's been inconsistencies. All the contenders have had, you know, questionable losses. But I still view Baltimore in a high regard as one of the top teams in the AFC. And we saw the Raiders beat them. We saw the Raiders go into Pittsburgh and beat a Pittsburgh team that, while, yes, Big Ben isn't the same quarterback as what he was, still a very good defensive team. And, you know, with Mike Tomlin, you know it's a well-coached team. The Raiders went in there and handled their business. At the same time, you have the disappointing loss to the Bears. You have the loss to the New York Giants. So at their best, the Raiders can hang with anybody. And at their worst, they can be beaten by anybody, kind of like the whole NFL this year, at least certainly to a degree. So with that said, the playoffs are not out of the reach by any means. There are going to be opportunities to make up ground, to build leads against teams that they're going to have to combattle with in the playoff positioning and wild card positioning. And there's still several AFC West games to go. I don't think they're out of the mix by any means in the division. But this is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, we've been down this road before the last couple of years where you have the promising start. It looks like all the pieces are clicking. And then at this time of the year, bang, you know, they hit a wall, things slow down, and they struggle to string together wins. From a psychological standpoint, they've got to find a way to power through that. I know it's been a taxing emotional year for a number of reasons. There's been no franchise in the league this year that's gone through what the Raiders have had to go through. And the fact that they're 5-4 is still in the position that they're in, I think, is a nod to Rich Bisaccia, what he's been able to do, and the leadership in that locker room. But it's time to stack some wins. It's time. They have the capabilities. Now it's time to make sure the collapse doesn't happen. I'm not so sure this is a team that right now, with where they're at, can make a deep playoff run. Per se, but at the same time, I mean, all the contenders have vulnerabilities. So you get hot at the right time, you string together a couple wins, all you got to do is get in, and then anything can happen. As we know, any given Sunday, or, you know, in the playoffs, any given Saturday, right, because they play on both days. But it starts against Cincinnati this week. They have to take care of business at home because the schedule is doing them no favors. A Thanksgiving trip to Dallas looms, and that's going to be a massive game against a team in the NFC that I believe is one of the best teams in that conference. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but from a talent perspective, I think they're right on par with the other teams they're competing against in that wild card position.
All right, Sam Gordon, the Raiders have 9 days, and they have two games coming up. Two games over the next 9 days. I think what happens over these 9 days is going to play a big role in where this season ends up and goes from here. What's the record going to look like in 9 days?
I think they split these two games. I do think they take care of business at home against Cincinnati. I'm not sure how that game's going to play out by any means. But like we talked about, Cincinnati has their fair share of issues, and it's kind of in a similar spot where they get off to this hot start, they pummel Baltimore, and then all of a sudden the wheels start to fall off there. So the Raiders are at home. I think that does matter in a situation like this. They know what they need to work on. They know what they need to address, clean up the penalties, get that pass rush going. And I think there's some favorable matchups that they're going to have on their defensive line against Cincinnati's offensive line. With that said, going to Dallas is a tall task, right? Dak Prescott playing as well as any quarterback in the NFC. We know how loaded they are offensively, but at the same time, they just got pounded by Denver last week, so you never know. But if I had to give you my best guess, my honest opinion, I think they split these two games. They're 6-5, and that is by no means is a bad position to be in with how tight that race is in the wild card. When you look around the other divisions, there's a bunch of teams kind of in that 5-4, 5-5, 4-5 mix. So they're right in the thick of it. And if you're 6-5 and then can look towards December and have a solid December, I think they're going to be right there. But they cannot afford to lose both of these games. They're going to be in a deep, deep hole if they do. And that's obviously not breaking news or anything like that. But if you can salvage a split, I think you're in good shape moving forward as you approach December.
You get to 6-5, and there's six games still left to play. It's a marathon. So while everyone wants to freak out and, you know, go give up and all that kind of stuff, even if they split these next two games at 6-5 with six games left to play, that honestly does put them in position to do something pretty special down the stretch. Even at 6-5, I don't think anything at that point would even be out of reach for them. So it's one of those type of seasons. That 17th game makes a huge difference. It extends this season, these seasons, longer than they've ever been, and it gives you room and plenty of time to get things together and make a run. Sam, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Truly appreciate it. We will talk to you this week, obviously, out at practice. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Just a quick program note. Thursday at 5 o'clock, please set your clocks to that time. 5 o'clock Pacific time, by the way. Taylor Rooks, the extremely talented journalist. I think she's based in New York, maybe Atlanta these days. But she did a tremendous, and I put a capital T on tremendous, podcast with Darren Waller recently. I happened to see it and listen to it. It was really enlightening, and learned a lot more about Darren Waller as a result. And Taylor was nice enough to accept an invitation to come on In the Huddle on Thursday to talk about that podcast and what she learned, and get her thoughts on this crazy NFL season, maybe even talk some NBA. But Thursday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, the very talented Taylor Rooks will be joining us. And Lincoln Kennedy, we were just talking to Sam Gordon. And, you know, when you really think about it, if the Raiders do split these next two games, because of how long this season is, if the Raiders can just get to 6-5, I know everyone's thinking 7-4, which obviously the Raiders would take. Everybody would take 7-4. But even at 6-5 in the marathon 17-game season, you're just kind of getting started at that point to really maybe potentially put it into high gear over the final six games and try to cross that finish line as fast and strongly as you can. Nothing would be lost at 6-5 if the Raiders can get to that point.
Well, once upon a time, coaches used to say that you had to have about a month of football to really learn what your team was about. And they usually the first month of football. And then it became a point to where they started doing the things the way with preseason. It was almost like 2 months to really understand the identity. 1 month was to get them basically in football shape, playing at a top speed because they didn't play preseason. And then the next month, your month of October, is when you kind of really kind of see what your team is made of and you have it confirm the identity. We know what the identity of the Raiders are right now. We know what it is on both sides of the ball. You know what they are on special teams. We got that. Now it's just going out and playing consistently to match that identity. You don't shoot yourself in the foot with dumb penalties. You don't shoot yourself in the foot by turnovers and stuff like that, costly turnovers. But you have an idea of what this team is made of. Now you got to go out and execute it. And as Sam alluded to, and we talked about all year, the schedule is not going to do you any favors. The fact is that you had a chance to take care of business, and you dropped it, obviously, to two teams, which affects your record. I came into this season saying that I thought with the extra games, the Raiders could be 10-7, at the worst 9-8. That's what I said. And I still hold true to that.
Yeah.
And just by picking out when they're going to lose. Now, where does that put them in the bigger scheme of the division? You can't control that because you can only play the teams that you play. And more importantly, you only have the time to take care of the division. They still have a chance to sweep the Broncos, but that's going to be the only team in this division that they can sweep. And they have to get these games now against the Chiefs. In Kansas City, they have to find a way to win, and they've got to find a way to close out the season against the Chargers.
Right, and it's not like they can't potentially get help from elsewhere. We'll see if that was the Kansas City Chiefs that we're going to see the rest of the season on Sunday night. The way things are going in the NFL, I am a little bit dubious that that's going to be the case. Everybody from week to week flips, it seems. It's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of a situation going on right now in the NFL. And as teams, to your point, continue to try to find themselves and in the process, you know, slip up here and there, it's left everything open for just about everybody, even at this point in the season. We think we're so far into the season. There's nine games left, right? Or 8 games. There's 8 games left.
What are they, 5-4 now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So there's literally 8 games left to play. And, we'll see where. And here's the other funny part of it all. Last year at this point, I want to say the Raiders were 6-3, and everyone was like, "Oh, the schedule gets easier. They play the Chargers. They play this bad team. They play the Falcons. They play the Jets." You know, and you're looking at what looked to be a favorable schedule, and they couldn't handle a favorable schedule. Now we're sitting here, and everyone's talking about, "Oh, I don't know. This is going to be a tough schedule." But last year, I don't buy into any of that anymore. I don't think whether it looks like an easy schedule or looks like a hard schedule, we can predict anything at this point anymore, because it's just there's so much parity and there's so many good players, or maybe there's not, and maybe there's not very many good teams or great teams, certainly no great teams, that you have an opportunity game in and game out. Everybody does. And it goes to your point, Lincoln, and we're going to keep driving it home. And it's why the Raiders aren't about to give up and weren't about to, oh my gosh, this season's over after losing 2 straight games, because in their mind, to your point as well, they just haven't executed, but they've shown that they can execute plenty of times this year. It's just a matter of getting back to that, and if they can get back to that, it changes everything, Lincoln.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And then they've got their work cut out for them, because there's not any slouchers that are on left on the schedule, and we've seen them play down to their competition already a couple times this year, so they've got to take care of business.
And now maybe they play up to it, because they've also played up this year. Now, think about this. The 2 games prior to the break, they played arguably, and for me anyway, at least for my money, it was the best 2 games I saw the Raiders played since I started covering this team. The Philadelphia Eagles and what was it? Denver Broncos, mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. Those were the 2 best performances that the Raiders played. And I felt like they established a level of play for themselves that they know they can play that well. Now, this is the question I have to ask you, Lincoln. In both of those games, Henry Ruggs was, played a role, all right? I don't want to say that one guy makes the whole thing go, because he didn't. But in the Raiders' scheme, and it's likewise around the league, we saw what happened when Robert Woods leaves Los Angeles. Their offense felt that majorly. They felt Robert Woods not being out there. It's a different situation with Henry, or was a different situation with Henry. But sometimes when you take a piece out of a puzzle, you're gonna feel that loss. Are we overplaying the loss of Henry Ruggs, or is that accurate?
No, I think you're overplaying it. Because they have the same opportunities. Look, Zay Jones has made some big catches. You know, he was the Monday night winner against the Ravens. That was a Henry Ruggs route. We've seen it done before. They've even had Brian Edwards run a lot of the same routes that the X receiver would run. It's not going to be any different for Deshaun Jackson.
You don't think that teams are defending him a little bit differently?
Defending who?
The Raiders a little bit differently.
Yes. Yes, they're just like the Giants. The Giants were not going to allow anything behind them. They played deep. They were going to give you everything underneath. They were not going to let anything behind you. That's where the interceptions came into view. And even when Derek was trying to throw the second interception, was the first interception, the only one he threw, his arm was hit as he was trying to release. He wanted to throw it on the field.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are times where, that's going to mistake. The ball goes up flutter, and it looked like he was going to try to take a deep shot to Edwards because looked like he was behind the safeties. So I think there are opportunities there. It's just whether or not you obviously have to generate them with other people. Hunter Renfrow is not a speed difference. They had the all-go routes where they threw it to Brian Edwards. It's a matchup issue. When Derek looked out at the slot and he saw that Brian Edwards was covered by a linebacker and he knew he had an all-go, he knew where he was going with the football. He made a great play. He made a great play to throw it to Edwards, and that's how Edwards came up with that touchdown. So those are opportunities there. I don't think it's about Henry Ruggs not being a part in this offense. I think it's you have to find other people to make up for it, and you have to do other things. There are still big play opportunities. You have to make the best of them.
I do feel like they need to find a different way to do it, and the reason they do is because a big part of what they were doing is no longer there. I have all the respect in the world for Zay Jones, but he's been in this league for a little bit now. And, you know, some guys are just what they are. And I don't think that he's that guy.
Well, I mean, they brought in DeSean Jackson, a series of plays. I told you he was going to have a few plays. He was going to be in the offense. I don't know what number snaps he had all together. But I saw him out there a couple times.
Right.
You know, when he's out there, you don't make it obvious that you're trying to go to him, but you got to at least utilize him or try to get him the football. You know, other than that one attempt, I didn't see them throw it his way.
They didn't. And I think that's going to – I think that was a product of – he got here Wednesday, basically, you know, or on the field Wednesday. It's not the easiest thing to, you know, acclimate somebody into the offense in that short period of time.
But, well, I mean, here's the thing. Then why have him out there? Then why suit him up?
Well, I mean, you he did catch saying? A 40-yard. I mean,
I know, no, yeah, one time you throw it to him, he catches it.
I think the only one. I think the only, yeah, no, and otherwise, he really wasn't playing that much. And I get what you're saying. Like, why not just play him a little bit more? But maybe they didn't feel like that was fair either to him, or it would have been too disruptive to the offense. But here's the thing: they've got the benefit of time to get, I figure, what, a couple of weeks until he's kind of feeling, all right.
The terminology is not that different. To me, it's a chemistry thing. Because you can go out there, I mean, look, the route tree is pretty similar for every offense. So you can tell what X receivers, they're running deep routes, they're running posts, they're running corners,
right,
just like Tyreek Hill is doing, okay? They find ways to get him open, whether you're using motion, to break down whether it's man or zone coverage, or you have the deep angle routes that they were trying to do to Henry Ruggs, or just even occasionally a goal route where you look off of safety and open up a lane for you to throw it to. There are opportunities that you have to also create. When you're an offense, you have to, if you're Derek Carr, you have to come out there and say, look, I got number one on the edge. Oh, he's going up against X, Y, Z. Okay. And look at this coverage. Look at what safety is. Has that safety been deeming down to try to slip in and get on Darren Waller? I mean, that's what happened to Micah Fitzpatrick when they played Pittsburgh. He jumped on Darren Waller and he had Henry Ruggs running right behind him. Those opportunities are there for DeSean Jackson. I think it's more of a chemistry thing. And I think we'll take another step this week against Cincinnati, especially the way they play defense. He'll have opportunities. But to your point, I think it's overplayed that 11's not a part of the offense anymore. That's just my opinion.
I'm with you, and I truly am. I just for 2 weeks I've seen a different looking Raiders offense. Without him on the field. Now I do think that the more chemistry gets developed with DeSean Jackson, the more, you know, the playbook and terminology, and while it might be similar, there's always differences.
Oh, there's always difference. Yeah, there's, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he just needs to get to a point where he feels, you know, completely comfortable or as comfortable as possible in order to do his job in a confident way and have a command of it. And I think they do have the benefit of time to get him there. And I think that's going to help because as we saw on the pass that was completed, I know the ending wasn't good, but that's why they brought him in there. And
yeah.
I also think that the more he is in there, the more respect teams are going to, give him in terms of the focus that they paid on him, and that's going to open things up for other players. Now, this is my question, too. Two straight weeks, Darren Waller has not been a big part of this offense. That's kind of where I feel like the loss, too, of Henry Ruggs has hurt a little bit. Now, granted, Derek Carr missed a wide-open Darren Waller in the end zone against the New York Giants. That one was definitely on Darren Waller. But there's been he's gone two games now where he hasn't been the featured kind of guy that he had been in the past. And I do wonder, because they took a big part of this offense away, or a big part of this offense is no longer there, how much that's changing how Darren Waller gets defended as well. And or the guy was coming off an ankle injury, if we remember. He did not play against, what was it, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Who's to say he's 100% healthy right now?
Well, teams are doubling him. Yeah. They're going to try to take him out. They know that that is one of Derek's favorite receivers. They're going to try to take him out. So, you know, the thing when people try to compare the Chiefs offense and the Raiders offense, especially with the speed now and having tight ends, the thing that Andy Reid does with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, let's say, for example, Tyreek Hill is going to run a go route. He's so fast, the safety has to respect him.
Right.
But then he ends up running a corner route or an angle post, a post corner route with Travis Kelce to that void where that safety is gone. And there's nobody that can keep up with his speed once you take the top off that safety. The Raiders don't do it. They don't have those complementary routes a lot of times. You've seen them at times where they run crossing routes, but they run them with the wrong receivers. They either run it with Foster Moreau and Bryan Edwards, but they don't do it with DeSean Jackson now, and Darren Waller. They have roles where, they have specific routes for the Raiders to run. I mean, for Darren Waller and those players to run. It's not like they have complementary routes where you get a couple of options. If this one's gone, you take this one. You don't have that. And there are a lot of times where Derek doesn't even go through a full progression before he decides to check it down. That's why I'm saying he needs to earn more trust. So there are a lot of things that are working in progress there. But I do know this. Every team we faced has had either some type of bracket or double team for Darren Waller. And when the Giants failed that one time, he missed him. He missed it. There was usually a safety sitting over top. He missed him and was trying to get him on that slant and go route, and he overthrew him. So that was a wasted opportunity. But teams are going to try to take number 83 out of the game plan.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, you know, they got to find a different way. By the way, real quick, Raider Nation Radio, Demon Rum can now be shipped directly to you. Just go to drinkdemonrum.com. The more you buy, the better the deal. And now, for being a fan of In the Huddle, you can get 10% off your total order. Enter DemonVinny10 in the coupon code. That's DemonVinny10 at drinkdemonrum.com. You're In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila and by Huddle, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Tuesday.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy.
Yeah, I thought we had them cleaned up in practice. We've been pretty good in practice, and we've had consequences for when they weren't. So, but we got ourselves in critical situations. We had the 4th-and-1, which we've been pretty good on the last few weeks, and we get the penalty. Now we have to punt the ball. And I think the other one, you know, cost us a touchdown. We ended up getting a hold on one. We had another pre-snap one. That part of the game. So it was untimely, as people may say, but they're just really critical spots for us. And when we play a game going like that we were going into with Kansas City, we know they're an explosive team. We had to really play all well. We had to play well in all three phases. Don't think that we did that. You know, we gave up plays in all three phases that put us in bad situations. So I think it's on all of us. We'll figure it out. But the penalties, we just have to do a better job.
Yes, they do. That was Raiders interim head coach Rich Bisaccia talking about the untimely mistakes that really played a pivotal role in that game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Lincoln, I know, the score was 41-14. How can a couple of penalties, change things that drastically in that big of a blowout? But it wasn't a blowout at that point. That's the whole point. The first penalty was it's a scoreless tie, and the Raiders were driving. And then another one that in a 3-point game where the Raiders were driving. It's just when those happen, that's why they're untimely, that changed the trajectory of a game. And the game ended up being a blowout, but it wasn't a blowout until the 4th quarter.
No, you're right about that. And you know, we talked about the entire show about that stuff. But I will say this, they've got to clean it up. We know they have to clean up. But one more gripe I'd like to pick before we close out the show, Vinny, I want to direct this to the nation. Over the last couple of days, I heard a lot of people complaining about the amount of red that was in the stadium representing on Sunday night. First of all, Allegiant has turned into a landmark. There are people that are coming all over because they want to see the new stadium because they didn't have the chance last year. And we know how eager people are to get out. And second of all, it's Vegas. And third thing is that nation, the team needs to win. The fans are not going to come back. The Chicago fans, I heard a lot of them, this is like a home game. Because so many people turned out and you lost. And the fans weren't walking out in the stadium, Raiders, being all loud and obnoxious as they can be after they get a win.
Right.
And the thing is that the team is going to win and defend it. It's got to defend its home turf. And that's how you make a place intimidating. You do your part. The team does their part. You make it intimidating. If the team gets smacked around and loses like that, well, you're going to see all the colors come out from other stadiums and other teams until you make it a place that they need to fear. Right now, the Raiders have not put fear in anyone. So the team needs to win for another reason, a number of reasons. But stop complaining about the number of fans that come to Allegiant Stadium, even if there are for the other team, because everybody wants to see new stuff, and it is Las Vegas. And until this past, well, a couple years, you could go to Vegas and be entertained, but you go in the fall, you couldn't see football. Now that you can, everybody wants to be there.
Absolutely. And sorry, nobody really wanted to go to Oakland. It's nothing against Oakland, but the same thing as Cleveland. I mean, there's other cities that are just like that, that fans don't make it a point to go to. I was talking to Damon about this earlier before the show started. I also think it's going to dissipate over the years because everyone's going to, you know, get out here and see it, and then they'll move on to something else, you know, a different place to go see a game in Chicago or Lambeau or New York or California, whatever the case might be. So it's like you said, it's the new toy. People want to come see it. It's Las Vegas. There's so much to do here. It's not just the game on Sunday. It's a whole weekend. Real quick, we're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Eddie in L.A. is on real quick. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey, how you doing, Big Link? How you guys doing?
Wonderful. Good.
Good, good. Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Big Link. There's too many people whining about too many imposing jerseys in there. When they won't go there. That's what I'll say about that. But one thing I wanted to ask you, why do you suppose the offense does not use any kind of sweeps for either Drake or Josh Jacobs? It's something I haven't seen at all this year. Or how about using your tight ends for, you know, using them on slants? Get them out open in space. Have your guy, you know, your best guys do what they can do in space. I'm not sure why is it continue to be running up the gut.
Well, I will tell you this, because they do not have consistency at blocking tight ends, you can't run sweeps. And they've tried them. They've tried them throughout the year. I don't think they're very good at it because they don't have a strong blocking tight end. Darren Waller is their best blocking tight end, and he's average. Foster Moreau is below average, in my opinion. They're trying to get better. Just can't hold the point. But they do have it. To me, they're better off running downhill straight at them. But if you look at some of the numbers with the runs, if they break down and that type of analytics, they show that they've got more out of it. As far as the slants, well, that's another thing that I've always had a gripe about this offense. Doesn't do enough crossing routes. They do slants. They have slants with their X and their Z receivers. They try to run them every now and then. They actually run some with Hunter Renfro lining up wide, but they don't have a lot of crossing routes in their offensive package.
By the way, one last thing. Thanks for the call, Eddie. About the tickets and all that. You know, these fans are getting these tickets on the secondary market, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are available to everybody. If Raider fans all over the place are getting all mad on Twitter about, you know, non-Raider fans being in their stadium, why don't they just buy the tickets themselves? Those are available to Raider fans as well. So
that's part of the gripe, because, you know, they had an issue when they had the vaccine mandate. I heard a number of people complain about that. What I tried to explain to people I talked to over the last couple of days, the Raider Nation always travels well. And you have opposing cities, opposing teams that don't like us there. It's no different.
I mean, and I see Raider Nation at all these games.
Absolutely, they travel very well, and so it's like you can't have it both ways. You want to be mad at somebody coming to your stadium? You can do one thing: you can just buy the tickets, keep the tickets, you know, sell it out, take it from them, or the team wins, makes it an intimidating place. When you come out, you know, all boisterous after the game, like I've heard the times when you guys won the games, Raiders and all that, and you're yelling it constantly, that makes it an intimidating place. They won't want to come back. It's a place, it's a landmark, it's a good stadium, and it's been fun entertainment. So who wouldn't want to? You don't have to be a Raider fan.
It's supply and demand. These fans want to come here, and they're willing to pay top dollar to get those tickets off the hands of Raider fans that have bought them originally. So you know, that's just the way the world works. Again, if you don't want that to happen, buy the tickets up when those are they're available on the resale market. Buy them as a Raider fan and go to the game and make sure that it's not a Eagle fan or a Kansas City Chiefs fan. That's, you know, it's the way it works. So I also know, coming from Los Angeles, when you're a destination city, that's just how it goes. And it's a actually, more than anything, it's kind of a compliment of where the Raiders are, the city that the Raiders are. It's a desirable place to come spend time and go to see a football game. There's a lot to do. And lastly, if you're, you know, the NFL, if you're the Raiders, if you're the state of Nevada, guess what? People are flooding into this city to come see, you know, for all these other reasons, and now the NFL, that is putting money into restaurants' pockets and, you know, waiters and waitresses and bartenders and everybody else. And guess what? All of that becomes taxable revenue that helps schools. It helps build roads. It helps libraries. All of that. That is how the world works. And it generates tax revenue when people are coming from elsewhere and spending their money in our city. So that's a win-win. That's why they built the stadium. One of the reasons that they built the stadium, because it was going to attract people to come here to big events, whether the Raider games, the Pro Bowl, which tickets went on sale. Go to ProBowl.com to buy your tickets to the Pro Bowl, the East-West Shrine Game, big events, the WWE, all of that. So it's all enjoyable and it's all good. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy. I want to say thanks to Peter O'Reilly from the NFL. Sam Gordon from Vegas Nation. Lincoln Kennedy, nice to get your thoughts on the game. We'll talk
always
to you.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Absolutely. DeMond Cotton, thanks for everything that you do. We're back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle. Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador. Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. We're out.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.